Pastor Robin Wasti, and his title is, the sermon title is Run the Race with Integrity.
Wow, it's a beautiful morning and beautiful faces again. It's my pleasure and I'm really thankful to the Lord that he has provided me again this beautiful opportunity to attend the worship with you and also share the word of God with you. People usually, when we speak with people and meet with people, and people ask me that where you meet as a you know to worship, and I tell them that in our church we have multiple nationality. We have Chinese, we have Canadians, and we have Caribbeans. We have, you know, all sort of people, all sort of nations. So we praise God that we worship one God. We worship one God, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we praise God that we are common. We have a common thing that is our Lord Jesus Christ, to worship him. So praise God for everything that he is doing for us. I'm so thankful for this, Pastor Ming, for this opportunity. This is an honor that you gave me this opportunity, and I shared this pulpit with you this morning. It is really our joy. We have been worshiping in this congregation, in this church, in this facility, over 5 years, and we really respect and we really value the generosity and the love and the graciousness this congregation had been showing to us for these many years, and we praise God that God has been using us to reach a lot of other people, to bring back them into Christ. So praise God for his all blessings and all of everything what he has doing in our lives. So this chapter, especially chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, is very, very interesting chapter. As Pastor Metz was sharing this morning, I didn't know that that the Canadian plane has been crashed, and many of the innocent lives have been killed or have been gone. And as we, you know, as living in our lives, we see that the people are dying. People are dying without Christ. And who knows that, in this plane crash, how many were the believers and how many were the non-believers. But I believe that, as a Christian and as a believer, we have this opportunity on this time as we are living to bring many back to his kingdom. So Paul actually, when he wrote this passage, he was about to die also. He was, he's mentioning that I have completed my purpose for my living on this earth. It has been almost 30 plus years when he first time met with Jesus, when Jesus appeared to him at the Damascus Road, and he has experienced and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and he took the responsibility that I'm going to share this, the same the same love which the Lord Jesus has showed to me. So it's been 30 plus years, almost 32 years that he has gone through this experience, that he received the Lord Jesus Christ. It was kind of 30 plus years when he saw the first time angelical face of Stephanus, who was martyred at that time and under his supervision. And when we read Acts chapter 7, there Stephen or Stiffness, when he was being stoned and he was going to departure, he said that, "I see Jesus welcoming me." Jesus is standing in the heaven and he is welcoming me to come home. So he has seen that kind of experience. He has gone through that kind of experience, that how Stiffness was satisfied while he was dying. So Paul, actually, when we read this passage, remainder chapter, we will focus on three verses, especially verse 3, verse 6, 7, and 8. But the remainder verses, we see almost 17 names. And in these 17 names, Paul had developed his relationship with these people. And Paul is the person who values the relationship. And in our life, I would like to encourage each of us that we need to value our relationship. Children should value the relationship with their parents. Older people would value the relationship with their younger people. So I believe that until we develop our relationship with others, we cannot reach people for Christ. We have developed our relationship over the years with this congregation, and we value that one. We really value that one. And in the same way, in the ministry, or when we are doing God's work, the relationship counts a lot. I would like to tell you a story that how the relationship works. When we wanted to start the church, there was one purpose that we will reach the nations, or especially our people, those who have not heard back home in Pakistan or back home in India. So it was our purpose to reach them here and develop them and bring them into the maturity so that they would also reach their families and friends. So that was our purpose, to develop a relationship with these people. And in 2017, in July 2017, we happened to visit one of the Sikh temples in Brampton. And there we met a beautiful, a young gentleman. He was there to play, we have a South Asian instrument that is tabla. So he was with a group to worship in that Sikh temple, and he was playing tabla over there. When we went there to visit these people, this Sikh temple, we met this man and we developed a relationship and friendship. So afterwards, we became a good friends, and when he was leaving back to his home India, we wrapped a beautiful Bible in a beautiful gift bag and presented to him. And some, we gave some gifts to take back to his family and to his children. And after some time, like after 3-4 months, he was just, trying to regret or trying to apologizing to us. And he phoned us and he said, "Brother Robin, I couldn't read that Bible. I'm sorry for that. But I want to tell you that this Bible is not being wasted. It is being read by one of my younger sister-in-law. And my younger sister-in-law has fallen in love with this Bible." And after some time, this sister, her name is Jessie. Jessie started calling to us. We speak almost every second day or other day with her. Even yesterday, we spoke together. And she started telling us her her story, that how she has fallen in love with the Bible. And then, up till now, she has brought about 14 people into Christ, and they are baptized already. Through one Bible, through one relationship, we can reach a lot of people. So for Paul, the relationship are very, very important. And I believe that, you know, we need to keep the relationship with others so that we could reach these people and win them for Christ. In chapter chapter 4, if we want to really understand this chapter, we need to go back a little bit in the previous chapters. Chapter 1, we see that Paul is dressing Timothy, and he's dressing him to be faithful as I'm faithful. And there's another man, his name is Onesiphorus. He's becoming a source of encouragement and refreshment for Paul. So Paul is bringing a people into his life so that he would bring them into the maturity and into his life so that he would be encouraged and he would mature them, and they would also become a part of his life. So here I would like to ask you that, is there anyone whom you can call your Timothy? Is there anyone whom you are maturing in Christ? Is there anyone in your life that you have recently won him for Christ and bringing him into your discipleship? Because in this same chapter, chapter 2, verse 2, it says that the things you have heard from many witnesses from me, share them and impart them to the faithful people. So this verse, I think it has ever been mostly quoted for the discipleship. So, because you know, when we come into the sanctuary, first thing I look, make disciples. If we will make disciples, my friends, we are becoming a part of Paul's ministry. We are becoming a part of Jesus Christ's ministry. So this is, I think, first part. This is, I would like to encourage each of us here, that make disciples, because Paul is encouraging us that impart the things you have heard from many witnesses, in front of many witnesses, impart them to the faithful people so that they could also impart to the others. So I think it's the joy of Paul that he is going to die now, and he is going to tell the Timothy and Tudeus that there he is going to finish his race. So when we come to this three verses, 6, 7, and 4 verses, these are really, really beautiful verses. Let me read from here again. Okay, so it says, For I am already being poured out as drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. Look at this verse. The time of my departure is closed. Pastor Ming, and you know that being pastor, you are bearing people. You see that people are dying each and every day. They are coming too close to the end of their life. And the same here, Paul is saying that my departure is close. It's this kind of a reference that when the animal was going to bring for the sacrifice, and it was unhooked to tied up, and going to the people going to slaughter him. After that time, cannot move. That animal cannot move. Maybe we people here in Canada are in this environment. We cannot understand the word sacrifice, but in our world, we are in Pakistan. There is a month when people sacrifice. When people sacrifice the animals, in those days, you would see the animals are everywhere. And at the day of sacrifice, the blood is everywhere. Even, sometimes you do not want to step on that blood, but still, the blood is draining. Because people are sacrificed. The same reference is being used here, that my departure is closed. My departure is closed. So Paul is going to departure very soon. But at the first, it says that I am pouring out my life as a drink offering. What does it mean by drink offering? Drink offering was associated with the burnt offering. When there was a burnt offering, people used to pour out the drink offering on that so that the aroma would go to God and God would please. So Paul is using this this special, unique phrase or term here, that I'm pouring out my life as a drink offering. So it means that I'm giving my life freely. As the drink offering was pouring out on the burnt offering, he is saying that I'm pouring out my life as a drink offering freely. So, as he wrote in Romans chapter 12, it says, "Brethren, I urge you that bring your life." As the live your life as a living sacrifice. And I think that when there is a sacrifice, the animal is killed, how can he live as a living sacrifice? But Paul is urging us that we need to live as a living sacrifice. So Paul is trying to mention here that when we live as a living sacrifice, it means we are becoming closer to God. And same time, he is mentioning here that my departure is closed. So I would say that here, that Paul, when he says that my departure is closed, it means that I do not have any regret in my life. Whatever I wanted to complete, I have finished. I have finished my course. I have finished my race. I have finished my work so that I can go and departure. And I'm going to have rest. Because he knows that Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, heavy laden and weary, I will give you the rest." It means that when he is going to depart from this world, he is going to have the rest. So for him, even though he knew that he is going to be killed or beheaded very soon by the order of King Nero. So here I see that Paul is very much satisfied. There was no regret. There was no regret that I would have finished this. If I live, I would have finished this. I would ask you the question here. Is there any regret? Or is there any forgiveness you want to make while you are living? Please, realize it. Until we realize, we cannot make change. We cannot regret. Realization is a first thing to be changed our life. I remember a story. This story also come from the same area. This gentleman was born in 1889, and born in a Sikh family. Became a first Sikh convert and committed his life, and he started preaching village to village, city to city, and committed his life. He wrote many books. One of his books, At the Master's Feet, it is, you can Google and it is, you can find it on PDF. At the Master's Feet, he writes that he was going, his name is, we call him Sadhu Sundar Singh, or Saint Sundar Singh. And he mentioned in that book that he was going one time to the other village to preach. And there was, in Pakistan, in the summer is really, really hot. And he was going in summer afternoon, and he found a river, and he wanted to get some cold water in his jar, and same time he wanted to have some refreshing going into the water. And he said that he went to the water and take a good time in the water, and then come out and filled his jar of water and started walking. And he said that he realized that before some time, early on, I was in the water, and tons of water over me, tons of water under me. I didn't feel or realize the burden of the water. But this small jar of water, now I feel a big burden. And he sat down, and he said that is the same way. When we are living into dirty life, into sin, into the life which our Lord doesn't like, we don't realize we are living in that one. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us and tells us that we need to realize and change our lives, then we will change. We can change. So, friends, realization is very, very important. And here, Paul is saying that I have finished my race. I have the time of my departure is closed. And then the next verse. Next verse is say, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. So he is mentioning three things. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. The day, it's been 30 years, I mentioned early on. It has been 30 years. He started his Christian life. He became born again. And for all these years, he's been fighting different fights. And he overcome all these fights. I remember three of my friends. They became Christian from the Muslim background. They became pastor, ministry leaders. But with the time, they slipped back. They slide back. They didn't keep the race. They couldn't fight the good fight. Christian is a good fight. The Christian life is a good fight. We need to fight. We need to fight for that. You know, when we stepped out, when we step out from the sanctuary, from our home, there are temptations for young people, for adults, and for youth. We need to fight back against them. There are temptations. There are questionable things. We need to repel them. We need to fight with them so that we would say that I have also fought a good fight. The day would come when we will departure from here. And the second thing, he said that I have run a good race. I have run the race with integrity. You know, which part of the race is the most difficult part? Which part of the race is most difficult part of the race? Is the middle. Is the middle one. When I run, in these days I cannot run because there is outside, there is a lot of snow, but in the summer I usually run. And I keep it in my mind that I have to take 10 laps off that ground. When I finish the fifth one, I already, you know, satisfied that, okay, half is gone. So it's five more, so six, four more, three more. So that in this way, I can run this race with integrity. Christian life is like that. When we born in this life, we become older, we become youth. That is the part the young people are sitting here. That is the part where you have to run the race of Christian life with integrity. And then the third thing is faith. Faith actually is associated with the future. Future is what we are going to get. What we are going to get in the reward. So here Paul is saying that I'm running, I have kept my faith to get the future reward. And future, what is the future reward is? The future reward is the crown of righteousness. There are five type of crowns has been mentioned in the Bible. And these five crowns we are getting in a different time. Crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown of glory, imperishable crown. So there are five type of crown we Christians, we believers are going to get. And when we, especially when we read Revelation chapter 4 verse 10, it says that all those elders, they have the crown of golden crown on their heads. They, when Jesus would come, they will place this crown in the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will also, can we expect this crown? We will also place these crowns in the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we need to get those crown. Why crown is important? Why crown is important? Because these crown we are going to place in the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the time when he is going to come back again. He is going to come back very soon. And many of the theologians, they say that Jesus might come on the first day of the week, and that is Sunday. So if Jesus would come Today, we are already in his fellowship, and we will place our crowns into his feet. My friends, just think that I keep this three questions with you. Is there anything that you still you have not realized, and you didn't have change? Realize that one. Is there any regret we still have in our lives? We need to address that. Is there any apology? Is there any forgiveness we need to ask somebody? We need to ask that one. Or is there any expectations we want to have? Crown of life, crown of righteousness. If not, today is the opportunity. Today is the time. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter, I want you to read afterwards, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. There are 16. There's a very beautiful chapter. The Lord is going to come very soon, and we are going to place these crowns into his feet. May the Lord bless us. God bless you. Let me pray for you.